Thank you, Mary. Do keep your Bibles open, 1 Peter 1, 1 to 12, and let's pray as we look at these verses briefly together this morning. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for its truth, that it gives life and light. Would we hear its message and be encouraged this morning to love and follow and know Jesus? In his name we pray. Amen. Well, I wonder, have you ever come across this man? I first saw him in Kenya. It was coming to the end of our All Saints mission trip. Our mission partners were there at iServe Africa. And we had a couple of days away together as a team at a beautiful lake, Lake Naivasha. And we did all sorts of things like hippo safaris and zebra safaris and baboon safaris. You name it, we did it. And the campsite we were staying at, there was this guy. It's an unforgettable face. I remember at one breakfast, he got really annoyed. We were enjoying breakfast so much and we were really loud and noisy. Anyway, his name is Wim Hof. He now has a TV series called Freeze Your Fears, when he shares his best tips on how to deal with the fears and struggles that life throws at you. And his antidote to win the battle of the mind is by walking barefoot in the snow, by starting the day with a very long, freezing cold shower, or swimming in an ice-cold lake. How awful. Wim Hof, his mantra is, freeze your fears. Friends, how do you handle your fears? Your pain, your worry, the trials of life. What do you do with your fears? Especially those that come because you're a Christian and you're different and you increasingly stand out like a good thumb at work or in your family or in society at large. You see, fear and trials can shut us all down. It can make us retreat, lose perspective. I know that my desire for the easy life can make me retreat and lose perspective as I follow Jesus. And that seems to be the context here of 1 Peter. He writes this letter to encourage the Christians not to shrink back or to deny or to go for the easy life when they face opposition or feel different. And Peter knows what it's like to let Jesus down, doesn't he? That last night, after Garden of Gethsemane, three times he was so scared that he denied Christ. But he wants us to freeze our fear, not by jumping in a cold shower, praise the Lord for that, but actually with the truth of the gospel. These Christians are facing a difficult time. Have a look at verse 6. It says they are suffering grief in all kinds of trials. This is not full-scale persecution. This is the whole sense of being mocked, of being misunderstood by other people, of being accused of doing wrong when they're doing right. Chapter 4, verse 4 says, people are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. You prude. You bigot. You're immoral for believing what the Bible teaches. Now, when people say that, it doesn't take long for us to be quiet, does it? To long for the easy life. To fear men and women so much and their opinion and to hear their ridicule and disdain, and so it shuts us up, it shuts us down and leaves us in fear. this low-level grief and opposition is in our country. And they were finding it hard to face, and we find it hard to face, and yet we know that we have life, don't we? We have life to the full in Jesus. Well, Peter in these verses wants to show us the rock-solid hope that we have to strengthen us, to lift our heads, to see beyond the troubles of life, to help us live boldly and wisely for King Jesus. What to do when you're facing fear, when you feel rejected, when you question what tomorrow will bring, when you wonder what's the point of following Jesus, it's just too hard, when you're tempted to give in to self-pity, which we all are. Not icy showers, not cold baths, even though chapter 4, verse 12 says it can feel like a fiery trial. Four things to notice this morning from our passage in dealing with trials and fear. And the first one is this: remember your security. Now, at the start of the year, when we launched our verse for the year about the mission field being bountiful and plentiful, we spent a bit of time in the opening verses of 1 Peter chapter 1 and 2, so we're not going to focus there too much. But actually, we're going to see that when we're facing trials, we are to remember our security. Our security. We see God's people are scattered. I guess they're feeling pretty isolated. Small groups of believers across these regions, verse 1. But look at what Peter reminds them of. He reminds them, verse 2, that they have been chosen. They have been chosen. They belong to Jesus. Do you remember how I spoke about the joy of my adopted daughter? That she feels when we remind her that her brothers and sisters, whilst wanted, were not chosen. But she was chosen to belong to our family. She became a Reese because we chose her. And that gave her great joy and security and peace. They chose me. They set their love upon me. I am now theirs and they are mine. And she loves that. And we love her. Friends, whilst the world might reject or mock or look down on us, never, never lose sight of the wonder of being chosen and adopted into God's eternal family. Chosen, verse 2, by the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled by his blood. Now, we can all get knotted up, can't we, sometimes, about the idea of God choosing us. But it's a truth not to perplex or confound us. It's a truth to give us joy and peace and assurance and confidence and great security. I was chosen. I belong to the Lord. I am his. And whilst friends and family may misunderstand or push us away or make us feel unsafe or unsure, remember who you belong to. You belong to God. Chosen to be his people. Remember your security when you face trials. Responding to trials, remember your security. Secondly, responding to trials, recognize the certainty of your future hope. These verses, verses 3 to 6, are amazing. I love to share them with people as they come to the end of their lives, if they're believers. I often read them to people facing the end of their life or who are really struggling to lift their gaze, that people can see what is coming. Stuff may be hard now. We may feel odd and rejected and misunderstood now, and yet we have much to praise God for now as we look to the future. Why don't we read verse 3 together? Have a look at your Bibles. After 3, we're going to read verse 3 together. 1, 2, 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. When we became Christians, When God by his grace came into our lives and gave us his new birth, he made his home in us by his Spirit, he gave us an inheritance. And this inheritance was not a gold ring. It was not a house in the country. It was not granny's false teeth. No, it's a living, eternal hope of life to come in the new heaven and new earth. It is sure, it is solid, and it's based on the facts of history. Look at verse 3. It's through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Look at the language Paul uses to make sure we see that this is a secure hope. Verse 4, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Look at that. You see, our inheritance is not like a banana that goes black and perishes. Our inheritance is not like garden furniture that, if you leave over time, spoils. Our inheritance is not like our curtains that, if you hang them up for too long, begin to fade and perish. No. This inheritance from Jesus will neither perish, spoil, or fade. This life cannot touch our eternal hope. Isn't that great? Hallelujah, we say. What security that is. The promise of eternal life for all those in trust in Jesus is rock solid. It can't perish. It can't spoil. It cannot fade. It is a secure hope. So if we're the Lord's this morning, look at that lovely picture of protection. If our inheritance is secure, what about me? Well, verse 5 tells us that we are secure. Verse 5, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. What a great picture. Shielded. By who? By God's great power through faith. Of course, we can all think of people who seem to start the Christian life well and are nowhere now. Let's pray they will come back. But real faith that lasts, that's not choked by the cares of this life and this world, that is protected and kept, is shielded by God's mighty power. How is it that Steve Reese or any of us are still trusting Jesus? How is it that Steve Reese, who became a Christian at 9, is still a believer? Is it because Steve Reese is mighty and powerful? No, I'm pathetic. It's by God's mighty power. He has kept. He holds me fast. He won't let go of me as I hold on to him. What a security, what a hope, what a joy. All my life, he has been utterly faithful when I've been faithless. He is so, so good. That's true for all who trust in the Lord. Our future hope is secure. We are secure in the Lord's grip, protected by him. On Wednesday, I went to a meeting in London at London Bridge. And I went to Borough Market. Have you been to Borough Market by London Bridge? It's super posh and expensive, but pucker. Didn't buy a thing, tasted all the free things and just walked away. And I saw this wonderful market stall this week. And I loved it. It was selling pies. Look at this. I love his tagline. Keep your eyes on the pies. And he's called the Pie Minister. Now, Peter's not saying keep your eyes on the pies, because you know who eats the pies. We all eat the pies. They'll be gone. But keep your eyes on the prize. When you fear, when you question what tomorrow will bring, keep your eyes on the prize. That sure, imperishable hope and the awesome power of God who keeps us by his mighty strength. When you are facing trials, recognize the certainty of the hope we have. Then, thirdly, Peter says, realize the usefulness of hardships. Responding to trials, realize the usefulness of hardships. We can think, what is the point of this? And I've said that many times. Lord, why? What's going on? What's the point? What's the good of this? We might think that suffering for being a Christian, or that low-level sense of I just don't fit or I don't belong, seems so pointless and so difficult. Why? Friends think we're odd, and maybe we are. For the views we hold and our commitment to Jesus and his people, when we hear some people in our own country losing their jobs for praying with others, or verbalizing their faith, or refusing to do something that goes against their Christian conscience, and we wonder, should I keep my head down? Is there any point in this suffering, this struggle, this sense at times of feeling alienated from those around me? Well, what does Paul remind us of? He reminds us of the usefulness of hardships in verses 7 to 9. God uses them. Look at verse 6 again. In all of this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer trials, all kinds of trials. Look at the next bit. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Trials prove that we belong to Jesus. They prove the genuineness of our faith. Where do you go when they come? Do you turn to the Lord or do you turn away? Trials exercise spiritual muscles. Where else can I go but to the Lord of heaven and earth? I'm stuffed without him. Where do I turn? How can I get through? How can I cope? Trials exercise spiritual muscles. They make us trust, and they prove our faith, which is more precious than gold. And it results in praise, glory, and honor to Jesus. Don't you want to bring praise, honor, and glory to King Jesus, who loved you and shed his blood for you? That's what we're here for. To bring praise, honor, and glory to Jesus by the lives we live, by steadfastly following him, by proving, come what may, I am his, and he is precious, and he is worth it. One of the many privileges I have as a pastor is to visit God's people when they are facing trials. And I've recently been with several saints who are really struggling in our church family. And a lot's been stripped away from them. And I've said, how are you coping? How are you keeping going? How are you doing? And they've all said without doubt, I couldn't keep going without Jesus. Doesn't that bring praise, glory, and honor to Jesus? It's really tough. For some of them, their lives are fading away. Their mobility is going. Their mind is going, but they are holding on to Jesus. Think of the glory that brings to Jesus. It receives from a life lived like that. I love verse 8 and 9. Though you've not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. That's the life of faith. We don't see him, but we believe in him. And we're filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We are being saved, and that brings us great joy, doesn't it? Even in tough times. And having joy in Jesus is a wonderful blessing. I often get that when I'm singing his praise, or when things are really dark and I just have to weep before the Lord and just rejoice that he's got it. That I can put my life and my family and our church into his hands, that brings deep joy and peace. That comes from Jesus. His joy is so precious. You know, when you're wondering what's the point in your trials, recognize the usefulness of hardship to prove your faith, to strengthen your spiritual muscles, to bring glory to King Jesus. And finally, when you're facing trials, rejoice in your privilege. That's verses 10 to 12. We so often think, poor me, woe is me, why me, and more of me. And these trials and misunderstandings from others and mockery of others towards us because we follow Jesus, think, why? It's so hard. I can lose sight of the privilege of knowing Jesus. Well, Paul reminds us in these closing verses 10 to 12 that we are blessed to be alive now We are blessed beyond words to live now. The people of old in the Old Testament long for what we have. Verse 10, concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was being revealed to them. They were not serving themselves, but you. When they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who've preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, even angels long to look into these things. You know, when trials come, we so easily think, poor me. But actually, we should think, privilege me. For this I have Jesus. I know the gospel. I know the God of heaven and earth. He lives in me by his Spirit. The Old Testament prophets pointed forward to the day. They whispered his name. They spoke of the coming of Christ. And we live now the other side of the cross. And we know Jesus if we're Christians. We are his. What a privilege. What a joy is ours. It's not poor me. It's privileged me. Don't lose sight, Steve Reese. Don't lose sight, brothers and sisters, of the huge privilege that is ours for living for Christ, for knowing Christ now, who came and died and rose again. That's the phrase. They spoke of his sufferings and his glory. And that is the pattern, isn't it, of our life? Suffering will come now, but glory is coming. But as we live through sufferings and trials and hardships, we do so knowing Jesus is with us. What a gift. We may face trials now, but we know Jesus, he is with us. I was chatting to one of these ladies the other day about her time, and she's in hospital right now. She said, you know, I couldn't manage that Jesus, and I lie here in bed, and I tell the nurses about Jesus, that he's keeping me going. It's because of Jesus that she's coping. It's not poor me, it's privileged me. Hey, maybe we need this morning to stop and repent of being so sorry for ourselves and count our blessings and our mercies in Christ. And maybe this morning we need to repent of our fears, the ways we give in to fear and not faith. You see, when you feel rejected in the face of trials, recognize your security, chosen. When you question what tomorrow will bring, recognize and remember the certainty of your hope. It will never perish, spoil, or fade. It's kept in heaven for you. And when you wonder, what's the point of having a harder time because I follow Jesus, realize that God will use your trials to bring glory to Jesus. And when you are tempted to give in to self-pity, rejoice. You are privileged. You know Jesus, and he lives in your heart by faith. What a joy. May the Lord encourage us all to live by faith, not fear, on our front lines, in our harvest fields this week. Let me pray. Lord, we love these verses. They are so precious. Would they go into our hearts? Would you take what you want to be applied into our lives? You know our needs today by your Spirit. Take the word that you want us to receive and plant it. Help us to hear it and trust you and grow in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.